Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. So glad you're with me today on the Cale Clark Show. Give me a call right now. Grab a line, grab a vine. 1-888-914-9149 is a toll-free number to call to talk to me. It's for free. Comes out of producer Jim's salary, his extensive salary. I don't know if he's getting paid as much as Phil Mickelson is for going to the Saudi Golf Tour, but we'll talk about that in a minute. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Lots to talk about today. One of the issues we're going to deal with later on is this question of, did Jesus actually set out to abolish the quote-unquote legalistic Old Testament laws of Moses or not? Is the Old Testament still in effect? Is the law still happening under Jesus's watch? We're going to talk about that later in the show. But first, I really want to get to an intriguing story. I've been meaning to talk about this for a couple of days now, but every day, this layers keep getting added to this onion that we can peel back. It's an intriguing story. I think it's the most intriguing story to me right now going on in North America, at the intersection of, and not just North America, but around the world, at the intersection of geopolitics, morality, money, greed, entertainment. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the LIV Golf Tour and the many stars you've probably seen this, even if you're not a sports fan. I know that golf is essentially a very popular niche sport, but there's certainly global icons involved. I mean, who hasn't heard of Tiger Woods? I mean, he's kind of the Muhammad Ali of his day, certainly the most famous athlete in the world, I would say. That's arguable, of course. But not too long ago on the show, we talked about Phil Mickelson, who has been essentially the second best professional golfer in the world over the last couple of decades. Again, that's arguable as well. But if it wasn't for one Eldrick Tiger Woods, people would be talking about Phil as maybe being the heir to Jack Nicklaus, as maybe the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And we talked about how Phil Mickelson went into this self-imposed exile back in February, after an interview that Phil gave to the golf writer Alan Shipnuck came out. And Alan Shipnuck writes for this outfit called the Fire Pit Collective. He was also working on a biography of Phil Mickelson, which has now been released. And this all kind of came out in the book. I haven't seen the book yet. I haven't read the book, but I very much am looking forward to reading it. But Phil gave an interview to Alan Shipnuck talking about the temptation that he was given, the offer that he was given to join the Saudi Golf League. This is a rival golf league. This is called the LIV, or most people are pronouncing it as the LIV Golf League. Got to live golf. You got to live the game. I don't know if that's, but I'll tell you what LIV stands for, by the way. It's not an acronym for anything. It actually stands for the fact that each one of the LIV tournaments, which are the first one's going to be held this weekend, starting tomorrow, is 54 holes. Now, most professional tournaments are 72 holes. This one's 54, so it's shorter. And 54 is also, by the way, the score that you would make in golf if you birdied every hole on a par 72 course. And LIV, those are the Roman numerals for 54. Ah, okay, so it all adds up. Very, very clever. And Phil was given an offer to join this Saudi-backed golf league. And he told Alan Shipnuck that the Saudis were quote-unquote scary. Now, he said it much more colorfully than that, but this is a family program. He talked about the horrific fate that befell the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, which we'll talk about in just a minute, and some of the other atrocities that have been reported under the Saudi regime, human rights abuses. But he was weighing this offer to essentially get in bed with the Saudis because of the incredible amount of money that they were throwing at these players. Well, this interview got out. Phil claimed that he didn't think he was on the record. People dispute that. Shipnuck disputes it. It got out there. A firestorm of criticism came Mickelson's way, and he basically went into hiding, where he's been ever since yesterday. He broke out into the public at a press conference for LIV Golf because he's now come out, and he has decided to go ahead with it. He's decided to he kind of issued this apology on Twitter. It was sort of one of these apology, non-apology things. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Sorry if I hurt anybody, but I'm still doing this. I'm still going to take the money. And rumor has it that they're paying Mickelson north of $200 million to join the league, which I'm guessing is much more than he's made in his professional career, despite winning 45 tournaments on the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods was offered in the high nine figures to join this league. He declined. He said, no, not that he needs the cash. He's made over $1 billion in his career, counting his endorsements. But this really does beg the question, does everybody have a price? Would you compromise your morals? If you were in these guys' shoes, would you compromise your morals to join this league despite what's been going on, despite what the Saudi regime has financed in terms of terrorism all around the world? We're going to get into that in just a bit. Would you take the money? Dustin Johnson, another prominent golfer who has come out and joined the LIV Tour. We'll talk about him in just a minute. He has said, I'm doing this because I think it's the best thing for my family. My family is going to be set for generations because of this. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? Have these guys sold off a piece of their souls in order to do this? I want to hear your take on this. 888-914-914. Yeah, Jim's going to... Yeah. Oh, yeah, the good old Steve Miller Band. Would you take the money and run? That's a great question. Would you do it? Let me know. What do you think about all this? 888-914-9149 is the number to call. So just to give you a bit of a rundown about what's going on here. Article popped up today by Mark Schlabach. And sorry if I did pronounce that right, Mark, who is a senior ESPN writer. And it's not just, you know, when this new Saudi-backed tour was announced, there really weren't too many big names attached to it. A lot of golfers who are kind of over the hill or on the downside of their careers. But nonetheless, there's a couple of major champions in the mix. Martin Kaymer, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Schwartzel, who won the Masters a few years ago. But by far the biggest names attached to this outfit were Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau. And by the way, today it's Bryson DeChambeau, apparently it's leaked out that he's going to join as well as Patrick Reed, who's a recent Masters champion. So this is interesting. So a number of big name players are out there now thinking about leaving the PGA Tour. And Phil Mickelson, when he first started talking about this, when the Saudis first approached him, he thought of this as an opportunity, partially because he thought the PGA Tour, ironically enough, he called the PGA Tour an outfit of, quote, obnoxious greed, end of quote, that they were depriving players of the chance to do what he saw as legitimate business activities off the course. The tour was making money off of players' names, images, and likenesses. Players weren't getting necessarily a cut of this. Some players like Phil, who are kind of in the upper echelon, big fish in the pond, maybe saw the PGA Tour as almost like a union that was meant to protect and lift up those who are kind of on the bottom rungs of the tour and make sure they have a decent living. But the top players weren't really reaping the benefits of the sport, which they made so popular. Anyways, there's a lot of stuff at play here. But at first, when the tour was first announced and who was going to be playing in it, the names weren't that big, other than Phil, who was associated, but then he kind of backed off. Bryson DeChambeau's name was floated around. So after the firestorm that Phil was engulfed in, after this interview came out with Alan Shipnuck, most of the players who were kind of talked about maybe joining this thing or were interested in it, they all kind of pledged fealty to the PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson, again, he's now in the league. He's resigned from the PGA Tour. Just a few weeks ago, he had pledged loyalty to the PGA Tour. And now, well, that only lasted a few weeks. It was true at the time, I guess. And interesting sidebar on that with respect to Dustin Johnson this week. So the LIV Golf Tour, the LIV Golf Tour, has their first event in London starting tomorrow. It's in direct conflict with the Canadian Open on the PGA Tour schedule. And Dustin Johnson was the face of the Canadian Open. Believe, trust me, I live in Toronto. You would drive around the city, you would see his face, his vacant stare on all kinds of billboards all around the city. He's on all the signage, he's in all the promotional commercials. He was the face of the tournament because, well, he was a past champion of the event, high-profile golfer. He's also Canadian sports royalty because he's married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter, Paulina. So that kind of makes him an honorary Canadian, really. And he is sponsored. He was sponsored by RBC. It's called the RBC Canadian Open, by the way. That's the chief sponsor of the tournament. RBC, by the way, stands for the Royal Bank of Canada. But they kind of went to the acronym RBC a few years ago because they have some international interests in the States and elsewhere. So you might have seen, if you watch golf, you might have seen players like Dustin Johnson and Graham McDowell have RBC logos on their golf shirts, on their bags. Well, RBC was paying Dustin Johnson millions of dollars. I don't know how many millions of dollars to wear their logo. Well, they also sponsored the tournament. When he pulled out, that was a major embarrassment. So within days, crews were going to work, tearing down the billboards. RBC dropped him as a sponsor. There's a potential lawsuit in the offing. So the Saudis apparently paid him, Dustin Johnson, to jump to their tour over $100 million US. So again, whatever RBC is paying him, that pales in comparison with what these guys were offering. And he's probably figuring, well, whatever they sue me for, I'll have enough money to cover the legal fees as well. It's worth it to me. He decided to do it as well. So Dustin Johnson, Mickelson, and like I said, a host of other big name players are now ready to jump ship, apparently. So this is becoming a bit of a problem for the PGA Tour. Will this continue? Should these players care about what's been called sport washing? This effort on the part of the Saudi government to get involved with popular feel-good events like Formula One racing, like professional golf tours, to kind of build goodwill for their government, despite the fact that they're directly responsible for some pretty shady stuff, to put it mildly. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. But I really want to ask you guys, what do you think about this? Do you think that everyone has a price that they would eventually compromise their morals if enough money was thrown at them? Do you think these guys are setting a terrible example? I want to hear your thoughts. 888-914-9149. We're going to go to the phones right now. Emma is calling from Central Valley, California. Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Emma, what's your take on this? I'm good. How are you doing?
I just feel a little bit like if they were so comfortable with it, they wouldn't be like hiding out, or Satan comes in forms of an angel, and I feel like they might regret it. Money doesn't always make you happy.
Yeah, that's a couple of great points there. Yeah, St. Paul talks about that in the New Testament, that Satan presents himself as an angel of light. It kind of makes sense, right? Most of his temptations are, you can rationalize them. And, you know, corny preacher's lines that you might have heard in homilies. When you rationalize, you're really telling yourself rational lies. Okay, you can use that one. I didn't copyright it, but it's true. It's not like he's walking around like a Halloween costume, a red cape, horns, and a pitchfork, and a twirly handlebar mustache. I mean, it's not that obvious. Most of his temptations are not that obvious. This one might be a little bit more obvious. It might just be naked greed. It might be super obvious. But again, people are rationalizing this. And they're saying things like, well, hey, maybe it's not that big of a deal to take this money from the Saudis because, hey, don't we get oil from the Saudis for our gasoline? Well, it's maybe a bit of a different story. By the way, the percentage of oil apparently that the United States gets from Saudi Arabia, it gets maybe 5% or less of their oil from Saudi Arabia. Most of it comes from domestic Canada. The oil sands in Canada provide some of it. But if you're paying at the pump, and I know everyone's paying a lot at the pump right now, but you don't really have much of a choice in the matter. You can't decide personally where that gasoline comes from that you have to fill up your tank with. But these guys are making a deliberate choice to make their living from this regime. And by the way, this is all financed by something called the PIF, which is the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. And it's worth billions. I don't know exactly how much. Maybe Nick Senevich, who's taking calls today. If you could put the phone down for 1 second. No, just kidding. Just Google this, or maybe producer Jim, how much the PIF is worth. I don't know. I'd love to know that exactly. But these guys are making a personal deliberate choice to take these funds, knowing where it comes from. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I want to hear what your take is about this, about the Saudi-backed golf league. A lot of celebrity golfers are jumping ship for big money, but are selling their souls in the process. What do you think? Joanne is in Kyle, Texas. Hello, Joanne.
Hi.
Hey, Joanne, you're on the air. What's your opinion on all this?
Okay, hi. Oh, well, I guess I feel like I'm not sure that there's really a difference from where they're accepting sponsorships and endorsements currently. Most of them are Nike sponsored, and that's, you know, PROC, you know, People's Republic of China. And so I just think that most people will probably have some excuse, or they'll be able to, you know, rationalize it. And I think, I mean, I understand we all tend to do those things, but on the level that they are, I really think that there has been time for them to think about where they're getting their money. I mean, it's the same with the basketball leagues. And I think, so for us as consumers, I think we're really the ones that push it. So we're the ones purchasing all the merchandise, and we all back our players, and I'm not saying that. I think we all need an escape. I think especially if, you know, this past COVID times, but I really think that we all need to escape. So I know, you know, boycotting is, everybody has their opinions on that, but I really think that we are the ones that drive all that too. And, we need to be smarter about what we're doing also. And sometimes it stinks that, you know, we have to sit out getting, if someone offers tickets or something. But, you know, I think maybe taking little bites and little chunks out of, you know, hey, you guys, you know, be smarter about it. And because people are suffering around the world. And, anyhow, that's my take.
Joanne, I want to thank you for that take. You raised a lot of interesting points. That was Joanne calling from Kyle, Texas. Thanks for the call. Call back anytime. And you raised a lot of interesting points that, for example, a lot of golfers, such as Tiger Woods himself, Rory McIlroy, the current number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, we've talked about him and his faith in a previous episode of The Cale Clark Show. Kind of intriguing, but they're sponsored by Nike. In the past, I know, and maybe it's still a current problem, there's always been an accusation that Nike is using sweatshop labor to manufacture their products overseas. People aren't being paid fair wages, that sort of thing. Have they gotten any better at that? Is that an issue? Are they worse or better than other companies in the field? I don't know. I have to really look into that a little bit more. But a lot of people are saying exactly what you're saying, Joanne, that how can you accuse golfers like Mickelson and apparently Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, for sure, of joining the Saudi Golf League, taking the money, whereas there's maybe some questionable sources of money coming to players, even on the PGA Tour, who are maybe sponsored by companies, brands. They wear their logos all over their... Some guys look like walking, I don't know, like newspaper, you know, flyers or something. They've got so many corporate logos on their shirts and on their bags. And are these companies always engaging in fair labor practices, that sort of thing? Well, that's an intriguing question. And you brought up also the example of professional basketball. I do think there's certainly a huge level of hypocrisy when it comes to the NBA, and I do watch basketball. We were talking about the NBA Finals last night. Deacon Steve Javy was on the program. Really powerful interview, by the way. If if you missed it, you need to check this out. He told an incredible story about the time when he was indicted by a federal grand jury and had to just throw his, he was found innocent, but had to completely abandon himself to God and his providence. It was a really powerful moment. So check out the podcast for yesterday's show if you missed it. But I do think there's a huge level of hypocrisy on the part of the NBA to talk about social causes here at home, but at the same time, the ties that they have with the CCP in China are unmistakable, and how the people who wanted to go into NBA arenas in the United States and protest against the atrocities that were happening in Hong Kong, the crackdowns on freedom that were recently taking place. You had even the GM of the Houston Rockets at the time, Daryl Morey, getting kind of disciplined by the NBA for speaking up in favor of Hong Kong. It's just a tweet that he put out. People with signs in arenas saying, support the people of Hong Kong. They were escorted out of the building. So there are huge issues there for sure. There's no question about it. And so we'll explore all of these and much more of your calls, by the way, on the other side of the break. Anthony, Dave, Linda, Maria, stay on the line. We will get to you if you want to call in as well. 888-914-9149. Be right back. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Welcome back to the Cale Clark Show. That's Steve Miller Band. We're talking about the LIV Golf Series. And if you saw the back page of the New York Post yesterday, there's a photo of Phil Mickelson wearing the green jacket, which he won one of the times he's won the Masters. But the headline was Greed Jacket, and they had superimposed a whole bunch of dollar signs on that green jacket. It kind of looked almost like the Riddler's jacket. Remember from the old Batman TV series from the 1960s with Adam West and Burt Ward and all those guys. Eartha Kitt as Catwoman, remember that? Anyways, remember the Riddler's jacket had the question marks, the green jacket with the question marks. Well, they made dollar signs for Phil, Greed Jacket. And Phil accepted $200 million from the Saudis to join their breakaway LIV Golf League, the LIV Golf League, which starts play in London tomorrow in direct competition with the PGA Tour. It's backed by the Saudi PIF, the Public Investment Fund, which is worth billions. And that money is in many ways financing, let's face it, terrorism, and has for many, many years all around the world. We're going to talk about this. Is it right for these guys to take the money and run? And it's not a story about, was it Billy Joe and Bobby Seale? It's more like Philly Mick and Dustin Jay at this point. Should they have taken the money and run, or have they sold their souls? I want to hear what you guys think about this. 888-914-9149. It's toll-free line on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Going to go to Anthony now in Colorado. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am well, sir. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, thank you for that description with the green jacket. I thought that was fantastic.
That's kind of funny, wasn't it? I wish I'd thought of that myself, but not my line. Anyways,
I know that was great. I am originally from Zimbabwe, which formerly was known as Rhodesia in Africa. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from a little bit of history. Nick Price,
yes,
who played on the PGA Tour, he was good friends with my father, and we played at the same country club. So I have a little bit of background with some of these guys that played on the PGA Tour.
Right.
Not a lot. I'm not a golfer by any means, but spent a lot of my time growing up in Africa around sport, because we had nothing else to do but that. I have followed the PGA Tour for quite some time. So the question then came up about this new LIV Tour and who was going to jump ship and who was going to take the money. You and I both know that's what it was going to be about, because this is how they're going to attract the guys over to this tour.
Right.
I think they've focused on very specific people. And the ones they've focused on are the ones that'll bring the rest of the crew with them. So is there greed involved? Well, there has to be. No question about it. I mean, for that kind of money that's being offered, I mean, but then, you know, you think about that and you go, well, just like what you were saying about Phil, take the money and basically your financial problems for your families to come should be taken care of if you manage the money correctly. It's more money than he's probably ever made in his life. For playing golf for as long as he's played, I'm sure that was a discussion he's had with his family.
Well, and Anthony, just to jump in there, as you know, and Phil has admitted this, he even gave an interview talking about this, and we've talked about it on the program before. He's admitted that he is a gambling addict, and he has spent significant sums gambling, owing, if you believe some of the stories, prodigious amounts of money to some pretty shady characters, and not being able to collect on money that he was owed from some of these people. He has said that he has had many hours of therapy for this, and he says that his family's financial security was never threatened by his problem. But a lot of people are asking the question, is part of why he took the bag because of the gambling debts? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I do think that if it weren't for the money, I think you're right about this, Anthony, if it weren't for the money, I do think there'd be far less of a lure in terms of other players wanting to go. And I think it's very much going to be, even in the last couple of days, we've seen players come out of the woodwork who said they weren't going to do it, and now they've changed their mind. That might continue on. We'll see what happens. And Anthony, by the way, I should tell you this, that one of my very best friends in the world is from Zimbabwe. He was my best man at my wedding, Batsirai. So he tells me a lot about the country where you are from, and appreciate that that call, Anthony. Anything else you want to say there, Anthony, before I let you go?
Well, I know with what you mentioned about the Saudis, obviously it's not just golf. I'm a huge Formula One fan. I watch the MotoGP, so I follow. My sister is a coach, an Olympic coach, lives in London, so we're still family-orientated as far as sport is concerned. But once back to the golf, I think this has just opened up a can of worms. I think there's a lot more to come. I don't think this is by any means the end of what we're about to see. I think there's going to be a huge drift here between the PGA and the LIV Tour. And when you've got money that you can print and hand out to people, that in itself is going to cause a lot of trouble. So yeah. I don't think this is the beginning, and I definitely don't think this is the end. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised and shocked by what still has to come.
Well, Anthony, thank you very much for your take on this. And we'll see. And by the way, they haven't even played a single event yet. So I guess the jury's still out on whether people will be interested enough. Will the fans come out to these events? And by the way, just to let you know, if you're living stateside, you'll be able to catch some of these events. So far, there have been, I think, 8 tournaments booked. First one's in London, obviously, which is happening this weekend, June 9th to the 11th. Next one's in Portland, Oregon, June 30th to July the 2nd. The next one is in Bedminster, New Jersey, at the Trump Golf Course. And Trump obviously has an association with the Saudis as during his presidency and even before that. July 29th to 31st in Boston, September 2 to 4 in Chicago. So producer Jim Niksenovich, who's working the phones for us today, you can go to the Chicago tournament September 16th to the 18th, Bangkok, Thailand in October, and then in Saudi Arabia in October, and ending off in Miami at the end of October. But at any rate, a lot of these players are not commenting on whether or not the PGA Tour will suspend them Phyllis said, I'm not talking about anything to do with the PGA Tour at this point. I'm not going to comment publicly. But people are saying on Twitter, those in the know, those who are well-sourced reporters, are some of them are saying that the second that PGA Tour members who are playing in this tournament, the second that they tee off tomorrow in London, they will be suspended from the PGA Tour, not for months, but for years. We're talking years. And we'll see what kind of discipline goes down, because Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, has been very consistent in saying, hey, if you go to this rival tour, if you go to the Saudi-backed tour, you will be suspended. You will not be participating with the PGA Tour for quite some time. And we'll see what kind of bite there is there. And by the way, what a lot of people are asking, just a little sidebar here, about the major championships, because, and this is another late-breaking thing, because I had heard up until a few minutes ago, because the majors, the Masters, the U.S. Open, which is next week in Brookline, Massachusetts, at the famous Country Club, the British Open, and of course the PGA Championship, which happened just this past month in May. These tournaments are run separately from the PGA Tour, and some people were saying, hey, they were, and their current plan is to let everybody play, even if they're playing in the Saudi League, even if the PGA Tour has suspended them, they're going to let these guys play in the majors because they're run separately, and these guys could be facing lawsuits. The Masters organizing tournament could be sued for antitrust violations if they don't let these guys play. These guys are all technically independent contractors, even though they're on the PGA Tour. So there are a number of, and trust me, their legal bills would be paid. The players, if they were to sue the Masters for not letting them play, their legal bills would probably be paid by the Saudis Public Investment Fund. And they've got a bottomless well of money, which they could spend on lawyers. So most people were thinking, oh, the major tournaments are not going to want to get into this. They're just going to want to take a hands-off approach. But late breaking news, there is some rumor that the Masters will also honor the suspensions that the PGA Tour might dole out starting tomorrow. So we'll see about that. We'll see about that. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Now, for those of you who might be asking the question, what is the big deal about the Saudi involvement? I'm gonna just read you a quote from Alan Shipnuck, the golf writer, who wrote about this on the Fire Pit Collective website. He wrote this biography about Phil Mickelson. By the way, by no means does he slam Phil as a person. It's actually apparently a pretty sympathetic overall look at the guy. Doesn't paint him as a villain. He's a complex character, as we all are to some extent. But why would it be a problem for the sport of golf, for some of these athletes, to get involved with the Saudi Tour anyways? Well, most of us have heard, obviously, about the 2018 killing of Jamal Khashoggi, who was a Washington Post columnist, also a United States resident, who was killed, and he was lured to the embassy, killed, dismembered. Most people cite that as obviously a huge issue with the Saudi regime, but it's a lot deeper than that, as Shipnuck points out. I'm just going to quote him extensively here because he kind of lays out everything. Don't forget that Saudi Arabia was the homeland of 15 of the 19 hijackers who carried out the 9/11 attacks. And there's a lawsuit that was initiated. It's a lawsuit that was started by those who lost loved ones on 9/11. They've signed on to this lawsuit, which was initiated by the widow of Tom Burnett. Tom Burnett was part of the doomed uprising against the hijackers of United Flight 93. And this lawsuit charges Saudi banks, Saudi charities, even members of the royal family with financing Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda's reign of terror. So a lot of people ask the question, why did so many of the 9/11 conspirators come from Saudi Arabia, which is technically an ally of the United States? And this is a really interesting political question. And Alan Shipnuck points out, again, this is not me talking, this is Alan Shipnuck, saying that Saudi Arabia has long been a hotbed of terrorism. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was one of the principal architects of 9/11, he's also known by the acronym KSM, he once estimated that at any given al-Qaeda camp, 70% of the Mujahideen are Saudi. So many Saudis were chosen for the 9/11 attacks to send a message to the government of Saudi Arabia about its relationship with the United States. And the U.S.-Saudi alliance, by the way, began after World War II. The House of Saud was sitting on the largest oil reserves in the world. which America needed to fuel its new way of life. They had a small aging population, the Saudis. They shared a border with hostile Iraq, and they had over 1,500 miles of coastline to defend. So there was born a sort of a crude oil force security pact that endures to this day. And over time, some Saudis ingratiated themselves into elite circles of American politics and oil. There's a famous account of James Baker, who was George H.W. Bush's close friend, future chief of staff. They partnered with James Baker to build a skyscraper in Houston, and Baker personally netted millions of dollars from this. There were lots of business relationships leveraged into friendships, all kinds of things that went on, which I won't get into because there's just too much. But we'll post the link to the Shipnuck piece. You can read about this. And the Saudis helped facilitate all kinds of different deals, personal, political, and there you go. And anyways, there's a lot of stuff here. But obviously, one of the most favored patrons of the Saudi Arabian rulers was Mohammed bin Laden. His company, the Saudi bin Laden Group, built castles for the royal family, rebuilt mosques in Medina and Mecca, which are among the holiest sites in the Islamic world. It is said that Mohammed bin Laden had 50 children with more than a dozen wives. His most pious son was Osama bin Laden. At any rate, Michael Lewis, the writer, called some of the billions of dollars moving around the world through the Saudis as access capitalism. He kind of coined that phrase. And there's just all kinds of stuff in here about, obviously, the USSR invaded Afghanistan in the 80s. The U.S. helped get weapons into the hands of the Mujahideen, and they eventually were turned against American interests later on. Before 9/11, of course, there was the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, kind of presaged those 9/11 attacks. And among the leaders who kind of planned that 93 attack, it was Omar Abdel Rahman, the blind sheikh, the so-called blind sheikh who masterminded the 1993 bombing. That was one of the consequences, the unforeseen consequences of the Soviets' defeat in Afghanistan, the end of the Cold War. One of the consequences was the infrastructure built during that war facilitated the heroin trade in Afghanistan that would eventually go on to fund terrorism for the next three decades. So anyways, there's just so much we could talk about. The killing of 18 Army Rangers in Somalia, also in 93, that was memorialized in the movie Black Hawk Down. The 95 car bombing at a military installation in Riyadh, five American soldiers died there. The 98 bombing of the U.S. embassies in Tanzania and Kenya killed more than 200. The year 2000 assault on the USS Cole, 17 U.S. Navy sailors died there. So all of these were in kind of the background of 9/11. So when 9/11 happened, Shipnuck says that a lot of Americans were befuddled as to why this was happening and where did this come from. But it wasn't completely out of the blue at all. In fact, it had been two decades in the making, and eventually the pieces fell into place, showing how Saudi Arabian elite helped finance what happened in 9/11. So there's so much more to this, but this is just the tip of the iceberg as to some of the moral implications about where this money is coming from and why people are being taken to task, why golfers are being taken to task for joining this league. Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel, he's really outspoken about this on Twitter, really going after these players and basically saying, hey, you're complicit in, you're sort of taking blood money here going to this new tour. So very curious to hear what you think about this. 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back after this quick message. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program, 888-914-9149. if you want to call in with a take on what we were talking about before or something else you might have on your mind, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the Saudi Golf League, the hundreds of millions of dollars they're throwing at players to join them, despite the very dubious origin of those dollars, where they're coming from, what they're being used to finance around the world, namely some pretty nefarious stuff, including the 9/11 attacks in the past. And is this sport washing? Is this a PR attempt by the Saudi government to try to take the spotlight off of what's really going on there, some of the human rights abuses that regime is responsible for? But also, I wanted to share with you this as well. The gospel for today, I'll get to this in just a second, was really intriguing. This Jesus almost fighting back against his critics who think that he is trying to abolish the old covenant law. We're going to get to that in just a second, but we're going to go to the phones right now. Marcel is calling from Germany. It's not often we get a call from Europe, so I better take this one. Marcel calling from Northwest Germany. Marcel, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. I really love your show, and all of Relevant Radio has such good content for the news and everything. I'm really thankful for your show. Whether you're talking about the, you know, in-depth things on our Catholic faith or about golf now, I'm like, yes, this is great.
Oh, thank you so much, Marcel. That's really kind. And by the way, I should say to you, Guten Abend. Did I say that right?
Guten Abend.
Okay.
Guten Abend. Right. Means okay. Good evening. Cause it
all
is,
right.
It's
okay.
Dark
I was close.
Out there.
I was close.
What is it? Yeah. It's after. Yeah. Oh my gosh! It's after midnight. It's almost 1 a.m.
Well,
I didn't realize that. I was so intrigued. I was listening to all the shows, and I didn't realize it was that late.
Well, I'm glad you found it compelling, and I want you to get your sleep, of course. But I'm glad that you're still with us, even after 1 o'clock in the morning, almost at 1 o'clock in the morning, over in Europe. So Marcel, what's your take on all this we've been talking about?
Well, I have been a lifelong lover of golf. And played it since I was a kid. The first major or first tournament I went to was as a teenager. I played in junior golf. I played in tournaments, mm-hmm. and I was on the high school golf team. And the first time I went was the Los Angeles Open to a professional tournament, and it kind of overtook my love for baseball. As my like number one sport that I really liked, as baseball and football, they just became the numbers of the amount of money and even if you're sitting on the bench in football, you're making huge millions of dollars. And what I always liked about golf was the players had to win their money. I mean, they have sponsorships.
Yeah.
But you, well, if you didn't score well, you didn't win any money in it. So it was really incentive to play well.
Yeah, let me jump in there, Marcel. That's a great point. I'm glad. Thank you for calling in from Germany. Really appreciate. I know it's late out there in Germany, but really grateful for the listen, for your kind words. And this is one of the concerns that people have about the LIV or Live Golf series of events, that since so much of the money is guaranteed up front, players are getting appearance fees, huge dollars just to play in the league, not to mention the pot. For example, just to give you some idea, the first prize in the Canadian Open this week, the PGA Tour event, is going to be somewhere just north of $1 million for first place. The LIV event that's taking place in London, first place winner is going to get $4 million, and they don't even have to play a full 72 holes. So with the guaranteed money, is the desire necessarily going to be there to win, to perform? It's an interesting question. It's very intriguing. Going to go now to Angel, who's calling from Phoenix. Hello, Angel.
Hi, Cale. This is Angel Hermes from Phoenix. I really love your show.
Oh, thank you. Very kind.
I was listening to your show. I originally am from Iraq.
Oh, really?
And, you were talking about Saudi Arabia and how corrupted they are. I can tell you, shame on anybody participate, those golfers and, with Saudi Arabia. Because even slavery, we were talking about slavery 200 years in America. There is slavery now in Saudi Arabia nowadays. Mm-hmm. All these women that's from North Iraq, you know, that's been kidnapped, those Yazidi women, they end up in the market there in Saudi Arabia. Oh. And don't forget, even the kids that's, you know, they buying from, you know, Africa, all these, you know, children. It's like a slavery there. I know, because I was there. I'm from Iraq. So shame for anybody to participate with them.
Angel, thank you very much for your call and for your perspective. Being Iraqi originally and what some of the things that may be going on in Saudi Arabia, and certainly, obviously, slavery is still a factor in the 21st century. Only the modes have changed. There's a lot of course, human trafficking for sexual slavery, for indentured servitude of all different kinds. And this has come into play with not only Saudi Arabia, this golf league that's starting up, but also the World Cup of soccer, which is probably the biggest sporting event in the world outside of the Olympics. It might even be bigger than that, depending on how you look at it, which is happening, of course, in Qatar. And that's another place where, and I have a friend who is working at the tournament, who left North America to work at the World Cup. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Leaving his family behind? I guess he's making a lot of money doing it, but there have been allegations of slave labor building the stadiums that are going to be used in the World Cup in Qatar. And people are one of the questions people are asking is what's the moral difference between, let's say, if you play for, Italy didn't make the World Cup. I was going to say Italy. No, I don't want to rub it in for all fans of Team Italy, but, Canada made it. Wow, that's for the first time since 1986. But let's say your country, you're a national team soccer player from, say, Germany, and you're going to Qatar to play in the World Cup. Do you have a moral obligation to stand up and not play because of some of the abuses that have been happening over there? Well, it's a bit of a different ballgame. You don't have a choice that the tournament, it happens to be there. And you could argue, yeah, maybe these guys should protest by not playing. You could make that argument, but I think it's defensible to say, well, it's not their fault. Should they forfeit the World Cup because they don't have a choice in where it's contested? But when it comes to the LIV Golf Series, these players do have a choice. They're independent contractors, and they don't have to play on this tour. They could play in Europe. They could play, well, it used to be called the European Tour. Now it's called the DP World Tour, I believe. They could play on the PGA Tour if they qualify. But again, this is part of the issue for some of these guys. And ESPN interviewed one of the players who's kind of a, I mean, he hasn't done badly in his career by any stretch of the imagination. For you and I, from our perspective, he's done quite well. He's made over $17 million on his PGA Tour career. But he's doing it because he wants to spend more time with his family. That's his main concern. And he's making a choice. He's on the PGA Tour, but maybe he's on the lower rungs there. He's getting offered a lot of money to play on the LIV events, and he's going to be able to spend more time with his family. And that's his main concern. He's not worried about what's going on with the regime. Is that a legit perspective? I don't know. But anyways, I really appreciate that that call from Angel in Phoenix. Thank you for mentioning all of that stuff. And you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're going to go to Lori in San Diego. Hi, Lori.
Well, I was wondering if the Saudis are shelling out, sounds like millions of dollars, mm-hmm. to put together this event, events, what are they getting out of it?
Well, I think what they're getting out of it is prestige. They're getting, again, the term is, we've mentioned this a couple of times during the program, the term is sport washing. In a sense, they're trying to make people forget about what the regime is into and promoting and supporting by getting involved in events that people can, quote unquote, feel good about, whether it's Formula One racing. We talked about that, their involvement with that. And that's become very, very popular in North America, just even in the past year or so, because of a Netflix series that's become really popular. It's called Drive to Survive. The Formula One event that just took place in Miami, a lot of the reasons why Americans cared about that, got way more coverage than an F1 event usually would in the United States, is because of this series. And golf is obviously a sport that they're trying to use to build bridges of goodwill, quote unquote, with the rest of the world. The players are talking about growing the game internationally, and that's part of their motivation. But let's be real. I would say that the vast majority of these guys, they are doing it for the money. But again, the question is, are they selling part of their soul in the process? And that is a very, very crucial question to ask. And so this is the situation. It'll be unfolding very much so over the next few days, especially next week, because again, Phil Mickelson, who will be, if he's not already been suspended, maybe for perhaps for life by the PGA Tour, he will be as soon as he tees off tomorrow for a great amount of time. He will be there at the U.S. Open, which is not a PGA Tour event, next week in Massachusetts. I wonder what the Boston fans will say to him as he walks the fairways of the country club in Brookline, Massachusetts. They're certainly not shrinking violets. And they'll certainly tell Phil what they think either way, whether they support it or not. And I know a lot of the guys that we work with here on the team, they're certainly not for this. Lots of messages in our private chat are flying back and forth. The ends don't justify the means. That's a great point. Blood money. I'm not going to say who said what, but that's the serious allegation here. So there's a lot more at stake here than just a game. And they're going to have to give an account for their choices, as we all will in this life. Thank you very much for everyone who called in, for listening today. Fantastic discussion, really compelling. I found your takes really compelling on this. I'll be back tomorrow on the Cale Clark Show. Tim Reese coming up next, followed by the Family Rosary Across America. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.